Good morning. Welcome to Christ for Us. This is Pastor Rolf Preuss. That portion of the Word of God that we read and consider this morning, the Holy Ghost has caused to be recorded in St. John chapter 14, verses 25 through 27, where we read as follows these words of our Lord Jesus. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you, but the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father sends in my name, he will teach you all things. These are your words, Lord Jesus. Sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. Jesus calls him the Comforter, the Advocate, the Counselor, the Holy Spirit. He says, whom the Father will send in my name. But then, if you jump ahead in St. John's Gospel to chapter 15, verse 26, he says, whom I will send you from the Father. Well, then, who is it? Does the Father send the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name? Or does Jesus send the Holy Spirit from the Father? Both are true. Not only does the Father send the Holy Spirit in time, and the Son sends the Holy Spirit in time, but from eternity, the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. Now, the original Nicene Creed confessed the following about the Holy Spirit. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified. And then the church in the West added one word to the creed, which is in English three words, the words and the Son. So that the Nicene Creed that we have been using in the Western Church for a very long time goes like this. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified. So the church in the East, with the original Nicene Creed, says, who proceeds from the Father. And the church in the West says, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. There was a debate some 1,000 years ago and more about the addition of the words and the Son to the creed by the church in the West. This led to a controversy, one of the most serious controversies in the history of the church. Finally, it led to a division between Constantinople in the east, which is today Istanbul, Turkey, and Rome in the west. One of the key issues was whether or not the church in the west had the right to add the words and the Son to the Nicene Creed. does the Holy Spirit proceed from the Father and the Son? In Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, the Bible makes it crystal clear that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of His Son. So the Bible does teach that the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father and the Son. And that's why the West was right. The Holy Spirit does proceed from the Son. The Eastern Church said you have no right to change the Nicene Creed. Well, I suppose that's an argument. But the bottom line to the argument is this. It isn't whether or not we have the right to change what the creed says. The issue is, do we teach what the Bible says? Because the Bible, and the Bible alone, is the authority behind the creeds. We don't believe in the creeds because we have received them from tradition, because they are old and historical, because the church promotes them for our belief. No, we believe in the creeds. We believe the words of the Apostles' Creed, the Nicene Creed, and the Athanasian Creed, not by the authority of the church, but by the authority of the Bible. We agree with these creeds because these creeds agree with the Bible, and the Nicene Creed, with the addition of the words and the Son, is based on the Bible. The Holy Spirit proceeds eternally from the Father and the Son. And in time, the Son sends the Holy Spirit from the Father. The Father sends the Holy Spirit in the name of Jesus, and He sends the Father and the Son send Him to comfort and to counsel, to be our advocate. And how does He do that? He does that by teaching. He says, He will teach you all things. Bring to your remembrance all things I've said to you. We are comforted by what is taught to us, by what we learn. The comfort of the Comforter comes through teaching. Not by keeping us ignorant, and not by just giving us certain emotional impulses or spiritual feelings or a sense of euphoria. Christianity isn't a matter of an emotional high. It is a matter of being instructed, taught in the saving truth that elevates us from earth to heaven. He says, teach them. He says He will teach you all things. Now, what is He talking about? Is He talking about politics? Is He talking about sports, the sciences, or how to make money? Of course not. Jesus explains what He means when He says that He will teach you all things. He says He will bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Jesus and the Holy Spirit go together. What Jesus spent 3 years teaching the apostles is exactly the same teaching that the Holy Spirit revealed to them, reminded them of as He taught them. Now, this is critically important for us to understand as we look at the work of the Holy Spirit today and as we look at the Bible today. Some folks will take the position that what one of the apostles says is his opinion and not necessarily the opinion of Jesus. But that just won't wash, because the apostles are saying, they're writing down in the New Testament those things that Jesus taught them, that the Holy Spirit is bringing to their remembrance. And it's also critical to understand that the Holy Spirit is always talking to us about Christ. People get confused on this because they look at what happened as recorded by St. Luke in Acts 2, and they think that these wonderful events become the standard or norm for the church of all ages. What events am I talking about? Well, the apostles spoke in tongues. That is, they spoke in languages that they had never learned in a miraculous way. People had visions. They would dream dreams. They would prophesy. There were amazing, miraculous signs taking place in the early church. This is history. It happened. But must it be repeated throughout the history of the church? there is no promise that the special gifts that God gave on Pentecost of speaking in tongues and receiving direct revelations from God would continue throughout the history of the church. The key question we have to ask about the work of the Holy Spirit in our day is, what does it have to do with Jesus? What is our faith to be focused on? Is it to be focused upon our own spiritual prowess and power and holiness? Or is it to be focused on God's grace in Christ Jesus? Should we focus on how much we love God and measure our love for God? Or should we focus rather on how much God loves us? St. John, who recorded these words of Jesus for us, also wrote in his first general epistle, chapter 4, verses 10 and 11, "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another." So what the Holy Spirit does is he reveals to us that we must rely on God, not on ourselves. Everything depends on him, not on us. People will often confuse self-reliance with spiritual maturity, which is looking at the source of trouble and anxiety and pain and fear as if it's the solution. You don't rely on what's within you. And that is the problem. That's the main problem of the Pentecostal or charismatic movement in our day. People are taught to look for their strength, their spiritual holiness, their relationship with God, everything having to do with their religion. They're taught to look within and examine their experience. This is the whole idea behind the so-called baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is an emotional experience evidenced by speaking in tongues, which supposedly will give to you the power henceforth to live a holier life than you've ever lived before. And this is why you have within the Pentecostal or charismatic movement this notion of spiritual Christians and carnal Christians. Kind of like the old television commercial about Post Toasties, just a little bit better. And so you see the division in one church after another as those who are spirit baptized despise and look down on those carnal Christians who haven't had that spiritual experience. Why does all of this trouble come about? Because they're separating the Holy Spirit from Christ. Listen to Jesus. He says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you." The Holy Spirit gives Christ's peace. Now, this is peace that Christ made with God. That is to say, Christ suffered to establish this peace. He suffered God's anger against sinners on the cross. He died. And so by his death as the substitute for sinners, he's taken away God's anger. God no longer accuses. He no longer threatens. For Christ's sake, peace is made between God and man. What was promised to the shepherds on Christmas was achieved by Jesus on Good Friday, and now it is given by Jesus through the Holy Spirit in his gospel, peace. You don't have to worry. There's nothing for you to fear. Nothing can take the peace away. Because God's seen you at your very worst. He's seen you in your guilt and shame. And he's taken that sin and guilt and shame, he's placed it on his dear Son, who's taken it away by his obedience and by his precious blood. This is the Jesus who, through the Holy Spirit, who through the gospel, through the sacrament of his body and blood, through holy baptism, this is the Jesus who says to you, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." We thank you for being our guests on Christ for Us. We invite you to join us in worship at one of the congregations of our parish every Sunday morning at First American Lutheran Church in Mayville is at 11:30. At First Evanger Lutheran Church is at 8 o'clock, and at Grace Lutheran Church in Crookston at 9:30. Please tune in next Sunday for the next broadcast of Christ for Us.